Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious, essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are really getting into something foundational. We're tackling modern anxiety by looking at, well, maybe the ultimate ancient guide, Lucius Annaeus Seneca's Letters from a Stoic, or Epistulae Moralis ad Lucilium, if we're being proper.
And it's amazing how not ancient it feels, isn't it? Seneca's advice, his guidance, it speaks directly to us now. I mean, we're all looking for resilience, right? Drowning in information, dealing with uncertainty.
Just like the Romans, yeah. It's uncanny. So Seneca really offers a kind of roadmap for getting through it all.
Exactly. And our mission today, yours and ours, is to unpack that practical toolkit he developed.
We want to see how he coached his friend Lucilius, and by extension, how he coaches us to build that inner strength to become, as he puts it, unshaken by fortune's highs and lows.
It really is about building a kind of mental fortress, something the chaos outside can't breach.
Okay, so let's meet the man himself, Lucius Annaeus Seneca. Born around what, 4 BC?
Around then, yeah. And he wasn't just some philosopher. He was a huge figure in Rome, a top statesman, famous speaker, playwright, and of course, a major Stoic thinker.
But what makes his writing so compelling, I think, is the tension in his own life.
Yeah.
He wasn't some hermit meditating on a mountaintop.
Not at all. This guy was one of the richest men in the entire Roman Empire. He was Emperor Nero's tutor, his chief advisor. He saw power, wealth, intrigue, the absolute peak, and frankly, the absolute pits of human life.
Which does raise that question, doesn't it? How do you take seriously someone writing against luxury while, you know, swimming in cash? Isn't that a bit hypocritical?
It's a fair question. And honestly, I think that tension is precisely what gives him authority. He wasn't just talking theory. He was living it, testing his stoicism in the most extreme environment imaginable.
Right. He's right about facing death calmly while literally living under the threat of Nero deciding on a whim that his time was up, which eventually is exactly what happened.
He knew the pull of power, the danger of wealth, because he had them. He wrote about the corrosive effects from the inside out. It's wisdom earned the hard way.
So it feels relatable because he struggled too. He wasn't perfect. He shows that stoicism isn't just for classrooms, it's for messy, complicated real life.
Absolutely. Now, what about the book itself? Letters from a Stoic. The format is key here.
Yeah, it's not a dense philosophical text. It's a series of letters, 124 of them, written when Seneca was older to his younger friend, Lucilius Jr.
And getting advice in a letter feels so different, doesn't it? It's personal. It feels like mentorship, like getting emails from a very, very wise advisor. It's a kind of manual for the soul.
And the core message of this manual, it's so clear. Real peace, ataraxia, as the Stoics called it, doesn't come from outside stuff like money or fame.
Nope. It's cultivated inside through developing your reason, your virtue, your moral integrity. Wisdom, for Seneca, is basically the art of living a good life.
The letters kind of guide you on a journey, starting with practical things, managing your time, choosing friends, and building up to these core Stoic ideas.
Like facing fear, controlling desires, understanding that virtue is the only true good, and crucially, learning to separate what you control, your thoughts, your reactions, from everything else you don't.
Okay, let's dive into that initial toolkit, clearing the mental clutter. Letter number one is all about time, right?
Oh, yeah. And it hits hard today. Seneca basically says, look, we're so careful with our money, we guard it closely, but our time, our most precious, non-refundable asset, we just waste it like it's nothing.
We're solely profligate with it, as he says. The goal has to be living deliberately, not just letting life kind of happen to us.
And that ties right into his warnings about reading. He tells Lucilius, don't just flit from one book to another.
Huh. Sounds familiar in the age of endless scrolling and clicking. Skimming headlines, starting articles you never finish.
Exactly. You scatter your focus, you don't achieve any real depth, it's discursive reading, and it doesn't lead to understanding. Same goes for who you hang out with.
Ah, the madness of the crowd.
Yeah. He warns that just being around unthinking people, absorbing the group mentality, can actually corrupt your character without you even noticing. It erodes your ability to judge for yourself.
So true progress needs quiet reflection. Careful choices about influences.
And careful choices about friends, too. He's very specific about this.
Right. A real friend isn't just someone useful or someone fun. It's a philosophical partner, someone else on that same path towards virtue, someone you can be totally honest with about your struggles.
Fellow travelers. Okay, so once we've cleared some of that clutter, we can start building that inner citadel. And it all comes back to that absolute bedrock of Stoicism.
The dichotomy of control. Can't say it enough.
This is the tool for managing anxiety, ancient or modern. You have to pour all your energy into what you can control. Your judgments, your choices, how you respond to things.
And everything else. The economy, politics, other people's opinions, whether it rains. You just have to accept it. With equanimity, as he says.
That acceptance is the fortress wall. Worrying about the uncontrollable, that's just signing up for misery. And to prep for those inevitable external shocks, Seneca has this slightly strange-sounding practice.
Premeditatio malorum. Negative visualization.
Sounds awful, right? But it's actually brilliant. You consciously sometimes imagine losing things. Imagine poverty, illness, exile, losing someone you love. You let yourself feel it just for a bit.
Why? What's the point of deliberately making yourself feel bad?
Well, two things happen. First, it kind of vaccinates you against fear. If the worst does happen, you've already mentally walked through it. The shock isn't as paralyzing.
Okay, that makes sense. Reduces the panic factor.
And second, maybe more importantly, by picturing loss, you suddenly appreciate everything you have right now so much more. It ramps up your gratitude for the present, for the everyday things you take for granted.
So it's not about being morbid, it's about perspective and resilience.
Exactly. And he sees philosophy not as some academic game, but as practical medicine. Therapy for the soul, basically.
Yeah.
Something you apply daily to cure your flaws and calm your fears.
It's meant to be lived. Okay, so that brings us to the ethical core. This is maybe the trickiest part for us today. Virtue as the sole good.
Yeah, this is where Stoicism really challenges modern values. Seneca says things like wealth, health, reputation, they're indifference.
Meaning they don't matter.
Not quite. They're preferable, sure, it's better to be healthy than sick, but they don't actually determine your moral worth or your real happiness. That only comes from living virtuously, according to reason.
He takes it pretty far, saying a virtuous person could be happy even while being tortured, because their inner state, their reason, is untouched.
Right. And conversely, someone rich and powerful but morally corrupt is fundamentally miserable, no matter how luxurious their life looks. Worth is totally separate from circumstance.
Which circles back to his critique of luxury. Chasing wealth beyond what you truly need just creates endless anxiety, right? Fear of loss, constantly wanting more.
And it softens you, he thinks, body and mind. Real wealth isn't having lots of stuff. It's needing very little. Few wants, not many possessions.
And guiding all this striving is the idea of the Stoic sage.
Mm-hmm. The sage is the theoretical ideal, the perfectly rational, perfectly virtuous person. Seneca admits it's probably unreachable, like a perfect geometric circle. But it's the North Star. It gives you direction, shows you what perfect reason looks like, even if you always fall short.
Okay, so we've got the groundwork, the mental tools, the ethical goal. Let's pull out, say, three really big themes that keep popping up in these letters.
Number one has to be the supreme value of time. We touched on it, but it's constant. Life isn't short, Seneca argues. We make it short by wasting it on nonsense, on drama, on procrastination.
The challenge is treating each day like a whole lifetime, investing those hours intentionally.
Theme two, the inner citadel. Building that mental resilience through that ruthless separation, what can I control, what can't I? Practicing that distinction is the key to peace, to ataraxia.
It really is the ultimate anxiety hack when you think about it.
And theme three, confronting mortality. Memento mori, remember you must die.
Again, sounds kind of depressing.
But it isn't meant to be. Thinking about death isn't morbid, it's clarifying. It strips away the trivial, forces you to ask what really matters, and inspires you to live fully now. To practice dying, as he says, is really practicing freedom from fear.
Okay. And Seneca packs these ideas into some incredibly memorable lines. These letters are just full of quotes you want to write down.
Absolutely. They're so sharp. Like this one on wealth. It is not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more. That is poor.
Oof. That hits home today, doesn't it? Poverty isn't just about your bank balance. It's a state of mind. Driven by endless wanting. Contentment is the real wealth.
Totally challenges consumer culture. Or how about this one on anxiety? He suffers more than is necessary. Who suffers before it is necessary?
Yes. The pain of worrying. Pre-suffering, you called it.
Exactly. We torture ourselves imagining worst-case scenarios that often never happen or aren't as bad as we feared. We inflict so much extra pain on ourselves.
And one more. On purpose. If one does not know to which port one is sailing, no wind is favorable.
Such a great metaphor. Without a clear goal, which for Seneca is virtue life's events, good or bad are just random winds blowing you around. You're adrift. You need a destination to make sense of the journey.
Okay, so let's make this super practical. How do we take this ancient wisdom and apply it like tomorrow morning when the alarm goes off and the stress hits?
Right. Take the dichotomy of control. You're stressed about work, maybe waiting for feedback or a project outcome. Ask yourself, what part of this can I actually control?
My preparation, my effort, how I react to the feedback.
Exactly. You can't control your boss's mood, the final decision, external factors. So consciously shift your focus, your mental energy, only onto what's in your power, your attitude, your response.
And the time thing. We should all probably do a time audit, shouldn't we?
Honestly, yes. Just track where your hours really go for a few days. Be honest. You'll likely be shocked at how much time leaks away on distractions.
And then you can take action. Block out deep work time. Maybe delete some apps. Learn to say no more often to things that don't align with your goals.
Saying no is a crucial stoic skill. And finally, building resilience through voluntary discomfort.
Okay, not moving to a cave, but.
No, just small things sometimes. Try eating very simply for a day or two. Take a cold shower. Skip the usual comforts occasionally. Why? Because it proves to you that you can handle minor hardship.
It reduces the fear of losing things.
Right.
And makes you appreciate what you normally have.
Precisely. It's like a psychological vaccination against being too soft, too dependent on comfort.
You know, what really struck me doing this deep dive was Seneca's complexity. The rich guy warning about wealth, but he uses that tension. It makes the philosophy feel tested, real. And I love that he'd quote Epicurus, his supposed rival, saying, "What is true is mine. Wisdom is wisdom wherever you find it."
That's such a great point. He wasn't dogmatic. And yeah, the lasting message is profoundly empowering, isn't it? We don't choose what happens to us. That's fortune, fate, the universe, whatever you want to call it. But we always choose our response.
Always. And in that choice lies our freedom, our dignity, our peace.
That's the core of it.
Yeah.
So the book is basically a masterclass in the art of living. The final thought for you is, how will you apply philosophy as practical medicine starting today?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acontra Foundation.